I'm going to try to do is stay in the text. And if I stay in the text, then I won't run you all over the place. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 6. Let me go ahead and read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. To an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept. Everybody say kept. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Let's have another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to come in tonight and thankful for these folks, Lord, to come out on this old cold winter night to come to your house. And we pray, Father, as we bring this message this evening, that you touch hearts with it. If people see a need of salvation, if they need it, we pray for those that couldn't be here this evening. Maybe somebody that's sick or anything, we need to pray for them too. Father, we pray that you would continue to add to this church as pleases you. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Now, I broke this down into about four parts, and I hope it make it easier for you to follow. In verse 3, it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. Now, that's the first thing I want to draw your attention to this evening is abundant mercy. And what is mercy? Well, mercy is getting what you don't deserve, isn't it? Sometimes people will throw themselves on the mercy of the court. You ever heard that before? And but here in this particular situation, it's important to see the need of salvation. And this text is really going to bring it out to you this evening. We have to have mercy. If I got what I deserved, I'd go right straight to hell. But you know what the Lord did for me? He gave me His mercy. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, the greatest need that you have is mercy. And it says it's an abundant mercy. Like I've already said, mercy is something you don't deserve. It's something that you don't earn. But you know what the Lord does? If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you know what He'll do for you? He'll give you His abundant mercy. You know why they call it abundant, don't you? Because it covers all your sins. And nothing any greater than that. Aren't you glad you got abundant mercy? I mean, if you got this abundant mercy that He gives you in salvation, what that does is that makes you rich right off the very bat. Not rich maybe in money, but buddy, when you have the riches of this abundant mercy, it's the greatest thing somebody could ever have. Now, when you call it mercy, that means that you don't deserve it. I don't deserve the mercy I got. God bestowed upon us His mercy and His grace. Sometimes people throw themselves on the mercy of the court. And they realize they're guilty and they realize they're undone. And they throw themselves on the mercy of the court. Well, God has given us abundant mercy. I don't deserve a bit of it, neither do you. But God bestowed it upon us. And that's what salvation's all about. Salvation is about His abundant mercy. And it's the greatest thing a person can have. Can you imagine not having mercy? You know, if someone dies without Jesus, they die without mercy, don't they? They die without mercy, and that's one of the saddest things that can ever happen to a person. That's one of the saddest things could ever happen. We need abundant. And the idea of abundant is over and above. It's over and above mercy. It means it's mercy that covers, it's mercy that covers all your sin. Now, how many sins have you committed? Can you count them? Nope, you can't. We've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what the Lord did? He laid the mercy. He laid the mercy on us. All God's people said. And it's an abundant mercy, and it's enough mercy to cover all your sins. So it's an abundant mercy. That's one of the things I want you to remember. Let's turn to Romans 4. I don't want to get stuck in Romans because you know how much I love Romans. But in Romans chapter 4, I want to read you verses 4 through 8. Now remember, if I'm running ahead of you, just let me know with a raising of the hand or something, and because I want you to find the verses if you can. If you can, if you don't, and that's fine too. You can just listen. Whatever you're comfortable with, it's what makes us happy. Romans 4, and let's look at verse 4 through 8. It says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not," I want you to notice that. Do you work to get to go to heaven? No, I mean, we seek to work and we seek to please the Lord whenever we've been born again. But this says here, "But to him that worketh not," now listen to it now, "that believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is imputed or counted for righteousness." He charges his righteousness to you. Verse 7, "Blessed is the man whose iniquity is forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." So he'll take, when you trust him as your Savior, he imputes his righteousness to you. And that's all part of that abundant mercy. And he gives you everything you need in order to go to heaven when you trust him as your Savior. He gives you his righteousness. He removes your sin debt as far as the east is from the west. It's the greatest thing you can ever have, is this kind of salvation. So what's our first point we're looking at? We're talking about abundant what? Abundant mercy. Mercy that covers all your sin. And that's what salvation is, and that's what he did for me. If I got what I deserved, I'd go right straight to hell. And so would you. Because every one of us here tonight has transgressed God's law and broke his canon of Scripture. We all have done it. That's why we needed abundant mercy. All God's people say it. That's a wonderful thing. Hey, are you thankful tonight for God's mercy? Amen. And that's the reason why we're saved. That's the reason why the Lord opened your heart so he could lay the mercy on you. And that's what he did. Does that make you happy? Amen. Boy, it should. There ain't nothing any greater than this abundant mercy. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1. The first part of our text talks about abundant mercy. We done looked at that in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his," here it is, "abundant mercy." God give us his mercy, and that's the reason why we're born again. He laid the mercy on us. What is mercy, beloved? It's what you don't deserve. We didn't deserve mercy. Mercy was something that the Lord laid on you, and you didn't earn it, or nor did you deserve it, neither did I. And the reason why they call it abundant mercy is because it's abundant to take care of all your sin. That's what it does. So, let's read on down. Do you understand the abundant mercy part? It's enough to cover all your sin debt. He paid your price in full. That's why we sing that song in the church, Jesus paid it. And so you don't sing Jesus paid it half. He pays it all. And when you got that in your heart, you know you're all right. You're covered. You're covered. The Holy Spirit has covered you with His grace and with His blood. Well, no, nothing any greater than that. It's an abundant mercy. All right, now let's move on to 1 Peter 1 again. And let's go ahead and look down a little bit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's our first two words. His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Stop. What's it mean to be begotten again? What's it mean to be begotten again? That's what it means to be saved. You've been begotten again. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and He made you alive in the new birth. And the reason why He did it for you is because it was a mercy. You didn't deserve it, but He laid His mercy on you. So He's given you an abundant mercy. And you know what else we have there in verse 3? You see where it says a lively hope? You see that term, lively hope? That means a living hope. The radio broadcast at our church is called Good Hope Through Grace, right? That's a good hope, isn't it? It's a living hope. It's hope in the Bible is not, you know, like we say, well, I hope Polka wins the football game, something like that. But that's not what hope means in the Bible. The word hope in the Bible means, when I say I got a hope of heaven, I'm saying that I know that I'm going to heaven. That's the difference. It's a confident expectation. That's the meaning of the word hope in the Bible. It's different than in the other word. Totally different meaning. So, He's given us abundant mercy, and He's given us a living hope. Let's talk a little bit about that living hope. Let me tell you what we got in this living hope. We got a home in heaven, right? If I die today, where am I going? Yeah, that's a living hope, though. I'm not wondering that I might make it to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven because He paid my sin debt. What kind of hope is that? It's a living hope. Now, if it wasn't true, it would be a dead hope. This is a living hope. It's the greatest thing in the world. Living hope is a confident expectation. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, He gives you this living hope. That's what you got. You know, I have abundant mercy. You know what else I have? I have a living hope. Both of those. The idea is that this salvation lasts how long? It lasts forever. When someone trusts Christ as their Savior, they're given three victories. And I'm going to give you these three victories. I want you to get them. This living hope comes with three victories. You know what it is? When you trust Christ as your Savior, when you have this living hope by trusting in Jesus, you know what He gives you the victory over? Sin. Victory over what? Sin. Death. What else? Hell. Victory over sin. victory over death and victory over hell. You say, Jeff, do you got those victories? Absolutely. If you're here tonight and born again and you trust us and you trust to Jesus, isn't that the greatest victory you can? That's why we sing the song Victory in Jesus. Amen. That's why we sing it. We got victory over sin, death, and hell. You say, well, Jeff, you're still going to die? Maybe. The Lord might come in our lifetime. We won't have to deal with death. But when I die, if I die, I just go off to be with Jesus when I'm done. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, we all have people in our family, and we have people in our family that have died recent. About everybody has here in our church. We've went through a lot of death. But I tell you, the greatest thing in the world to know, the greatest thing in the world to know, is that when you die and you're born again, that you go to heaven. And you know exactly where they're at. And you know that one of these days you'll get to see them again. Yeah. And it's going to be a forever thing. It's going to be a forever thing. And we'll be with them one day forever. All God's people say it. That's a great blessing, I tell you. It's a wonderful thing. All right, let's get back to our text. This is a great text. Can you tell I like it? I like the text. It preaches good. All right, we're looking at 1 Peter 1, 3 through 6. The first thing we looked at was abundant what? Abundant mercy. It's a mercy that is abundant. It takes care of all of your sin debt. And it says he goes on to say, and he hath begotten us again into what kind of hope now? It's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. If someone doesn't trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, they don't trust in the right gospel, then they will face they'll face death from that. You got to have the right gospel. What is the gospel? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Let me give this to you real fast. 1 Corinthians 15. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is called in Scripture the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what the gospel is. Now, notice what he says here in 1 Corinthians 15. Good text to mark. You should know it. I've run this in the ground over the years. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye have received. Now, how do you get saved? You receive the gospel. You got to receive the gospel. By which ye are saved, if you keep in memory of, that all I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's what you trust in. That's what you put your hope in. Jesus died for my sins. What about my sin debt? Jesus paid for it. When did he pay for it? 2,000 years ago. He paid for it. And he paid our debt. When you trust him now, when you trust him as your Savior, he pays your debt, listen to it, in full. We sing that old song, Jesus Paid It All. Everybody remember that? Jesus paid it all. We don't sing Jesus paid it half. He had to pay them all. And Jesus paid it. All God's people said. That's a living hope. That's abundant mercy. And that is a living, that's a living hope. Now let's go back to 1 Peter. Almost done. I'm going to try to, well, just forget it. I'll try. We'll see what happens. First Peter, let's go back to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. All right. Are you still ready? If you're ready, say amen. Amen. All right. All right. We've looked at verse 3 and verse 4. It talks about an inheritance. What's an inheritance? Have you ever got an inheritance before? Sometimes people will get an inheritance. And he's talking here in verse 4 about what kind of inheritance. It's a heavenly inheritance. And the greatest inheritance that you could ever have is this heavenly inheritance. And that's what he's talking about here in this text. You see in verse 4 where it calls it a what again? It's called an inheritance. And notice what he says about it. It's an inheritance that's incorruptible. That means it's time proof. It's an inheritance that's time proof. It means it lasts forever. Yeah. That's a pretty good inheritance, isn't it? It's an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's undefiled. That means it's sin proof. It's sin proof. It fades not away. That means it's time proof. It's also time proof. And notice what else it says. It's reserved in heaven. Listen now again. It's reserved in heaven for you. We got a reserved seat. It says it's reserved in heaven for you. All God's people say it. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You've probably heard that old song that says, I got a reservation. I got a reservation to walk on streets of gold. You've heard that song before? We do. We got a reservation. I don't know when I'm going to glory. I don't know when Jesus is going to come. And I also don't know when I'm going to die. But you want to know a little something, Hector? I got a reservation. And I know I'm going. And I'm thankful for it. All God's people say it. Amen. Ain't nothing any greater than that, is it? That's a wonderful thing to know that you have it. To know that you have it. You don't want to have no doubts about it because this is eternity we're talking about. And what we need more than anything else in the world, and what people need more than anything else in the world, is they need this living hope in Jesus Christ. And it's a living hope. It never fades away. And it's eternal. It's eternal. Hey, let me ask you a question. How long is eternal life? It's forever, ain't it? It's forever life. And when you trust Him as your Savior, He gives you everlasting, eternal life. All God's people say it. That's a wonderful thing. So, I don't like death, do you? I really don't like it. I don't. I've lost a lot of people in my life, in my lifetime, over the years. But I tell you one thing. When you have everlasting life, when you die, you go off to be with the Lord. You're actually better off. Can I say it one more time? You're actually better off. You really are. I've told you this recent, but I'm going to tell it to you again. When this year, when my mom died, when my dad died first, and then my mom died second, and I'm an only child, you know. Not that that's anything special, but, you know, sometimes it's good to have brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? And when that happened, what was my hope? What was my hope? man, I knowed where they're at. Can I say it one more time? I know where they're at. Some people are a little bit different how they mourn. But the day my dad had passed, I couldn't cry. I just couldn't do it. I watched my pop suffer with that dialysis for 7 or 8 years. And I watched him go through all that. Oh, it was just something. And when the Lord took him, I was thankful. I know he'd never suffer anymore again. Same thing with my mom. She missed my dad so bad. And when she went, I know they were together again. All God's people say, that's a glorious thing to know. That's a glorious, don't you agree? That's a glorious thing to know. Amen. To know where they're at. Old timers used to say, nothing's lost when you know where it's at. I think that's a glorious thing. So, we have abundant mercy. We got a living hope. Remember, hope isn't like how we use it. It's a confident expectation. There's no wishing it's true. It's knowing that it's true. We got an inheritance. Almost done. We got an inheritance. And that's the next. We got an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away. Where's it at? It's reserved in heaven for you. We've got a reservation there. I don't know when I'm going. Listen to me now. I don't know when I'm going, but I know I'm going. That's a great deal, ain't it? Isn't that a great thing to know where you're going? Jesus comes, I'm going. If I die, I'm going. Either way. Old timers used to say, I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay. It's a wonderful thing. All right. Let me flip my card over now. We'll finalize this deal here this evening. It says it's reserved in heaven for you. He says it's reserved. See where it says in verse 4? This is reserved for you. Hey, you got a reserved seat. You got this reserved seat. So not only is your seat, you see in verse 4, it says it's reserved in heaven for you. Let me say, it's reserved in heaven for you. So you got a reserved seat. Everybody got it? But not only that, but you're kept. You're kept by the power of God through faith until salvation, unto the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Man, what a blessing that is. We got a reservation in heaven. See it in verse 4? See, it's reserved in heaven for you. It's already there, Hector. It's just reserved for you. And when you go to it. There's nothing any greater than that. It's reserved in heaven for you. Now, what if the person don't make it? Well, let's look at verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God. And I want to share this with you, and I want you to get this. If you get this, I'll quit. And It says, we've done seen that this inheritance is reserved. You remember now? It's reserved in heaven for you. So that means it's waiting there. That means if Jesus comes where I die, I'm going to go off to be with Him. And guess what else? It says that we are kept. Everybody say kept. Yeah. We're kept by the power of who? God. We're kept by the power of God. Who keeps you? God does. What are you going to do with that? You're kept by the power of God. Now, how powerful God is. Nothing compares to His power. He keeps us by His power. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Now, beloved, I'm sure that we're in the last time. Well, the Scripture says He hath in these last days, y'all remember it, Mike? He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. That's been 2,000 years ago. So we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. So we're in the latter stages of the last days. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. He could come at any time. He could come at any time. Are you ready to go up? Are you ready to go up? I hope everybody here tonight's ready to go up. Nothing any greater than that. Ready to be revealed at the last time. And I'm going to close with the first part of verse 6. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Hey, beloved, do we have reason to greatly rejoice? Yeah, I think we stay down too much. I think we stay down too much. I really do. We should greatly rejoice in the salvation benefit that we have in Christ. All God's people say it. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this evening. Good to have you with us.